Camera is a strange thing. Unbidden, there came into my mind a few weeks ago a fragment of an old song. I think it must have been an old love song from the 1960s. And the two lines that come into my mind were these. Halfway to paradise, so near and yet so far. Paradise. It's an overworked word these days. The tour operators are always enticing you to go to a paradise island. In your newspapers, you often read about celebrities jetting off to their paradise hideaways. In the city of Glasgow, there's a football stadium, and those who frequent it call it paradise. People who like cake, they enjoy paradise slices, and so it is an overworked word. But it's a Bible word, paradise. And it's a word that conjures up in our minds the joys of heaven, the bliss of that glorious place. It's a word that was in the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ the very day he died. There was a man who died at his side, a thief who at the start of the day had rejected him and yet ultimately repented of his sins. And the Lord Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." I want to speak to you about that man and about the people who died that day. I suppose that Jerusalem was a dangerous place and many people died around about Jerusalem. But we do know of four people who died on that particular day. One of them was the man called Judas. Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then he'd brought his ill-gotten gains to the chief priests and he threw down these 30 pieces of silver in the temple. And then he went out and he hanged himself. Now I don't know precisely what happened as he attempted to hang himself, but he went plunging headlong and he perished. And the Bible says he went to his own place. So Judas died that day. But then there were the three men who were crucified. The man on the center cross was none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he die upon that cross? Well, the Bible tells us he died for our sins. We've all got them, sins. None of us are perfect. Every one of us have broken God's laws. And yet the good news is, Christ died for our sins. That's why he was crucified. His life was given as a sacrifice for sins. Isaiah the prophet explained it this way. He said, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." Peter put it this way. "He bore our sins in his own body on the tree." So on the center cross, the Lord Jesus died, and he died for our sins. But then there were these two other men who died with him that day. The Bible calls them malefactors or evildoers. At the start of the day, both of them had been hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ. But somewhere along the line, one of these men realized that Jesus of Nazareth was the long-promised Messiah of Israel. Jesus of Nazareth was the Savior of the world. He listened in as his companion reviled the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he despised him, and he said, "Do you not fear God? We're all going to die today. We're all in the same condemnation. But this man, the Lord Jesus, has done nothing amiss." So he acknowledged the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is good to know that Jesus Christ was sinless. There lived in this world for 33 years a man who never, ever sinned. Now a thinking person might be saying, "Wait a minute, this thief by the side of the Lord Jesus, he only had a passing acquaintance with the Saviour. How could he make a proper assessment of the life of Jesus of Nazareth?" Well, that is true. He only had a passing acquaintance with Christ. But Peter, who'd been with Christ for more than 3 years, his assessment of the Saviour's life was this. He said, "He did no sin." So whether it be a man who only met the Saviour fleetingly, or whether it was a man who put his life under the microscope, both of them arrived at the same conclusion. The Lord Jesus Christ had done no sin. He was perfect in all that he did. There were no skeletons in the cupboard as far as he was concerned. He was transparent. He was pure. He was holy. He was perfect in all that he said. The Bible says, "Never man spake like this man." And then, of course, he was perfect in all that he thought. The Word of God says, "He knew no sin, and in him is no sin." Now, the point I want to make is this. The perfections of Christ expose us as being short of God's perfect standard. He is the standard by which God judges us. And not one of us have attained the standard of perfection set by him. Perhaps even today, already, you are aware of having sinned in thought, because the mind can be a cesspool of iniquity. Sometimes it harbors jealousy. Sometimes it is guilty of hatred. Sometimes unclean thoughts flash onto the screen of our minds. Every one of us are defiled in our thinking. And then the things that we do are less than perfect. The Bible says about us, all have sinned. And then, of course, the things that we say, well, oftentimes what we say is tainted. Oftentimes we deceive. Sometimes people use God's name as a swear word, and the Bible says, God will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. So in thought, and in word, and in deed, the Saviour was perfect, but in thought, and in word, and in deed, we are flawed, and that's why we need a Saviour, and that is why we need cleansing from our sin. So that thief who died by the side of Christ acknowledged the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. And then he acknowledged his own sinfulness. He said to his companion, we're only getting what we deserve. You might say, well now, a man like that might well acknowledge that he was a sinner. He'd been a criminal, he'd been violent, he was a thief, possibly a rebel. Well, he was a sinner. But you know, the point is, God wants us all to acknowledge that we've sinned. In Jeremiah's day in the Bible, some of the people were saying, I am innocent. God's wrath will turn away from me. In other words, they were saying, we don't deserve God's punishment. We've never done anyone any harm. We're innocent. Now, God does not want to hear protestations of innocence. What God wants to hear from every one of us is an acknowledgement of our guilt. The Bible says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There was a man in the Bible of whom the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and this man simply said to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He did acknowledge that he was a sinner who needed the mercy of God. Now that's the kind of language that God wants to hear from every one of us. The first rung on the ladder on the road to receiving God's salvation is a willingness to admit our guilt. Are you willing for that? Are you willing, like that thief, to acknowledge, yes, I have rebelled against God. I have sinned against him. I need his mercy. And so this man acknowledged his own sinfulness. And then he acknowledged the lordship of Jesus Christ. He looked to him and he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. There was a board above the head of the Saviour which said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this thief realized he has a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, and that kingdom is yet future. And so he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now again, those who want God's forgiveness and who want to be saved and who want to be right with God, they must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Allow me to quote you a verse from the Bible. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, acknowledging Jesus as Lord means that you're willing to receive him into your life as your Lord and Savior. It means that you're willing to acknowledge his authority in your life. It may mean a dramatic change. It could mean that there are certain places that you will not go anymore because your Lord won't want you to go these places. It could be that there are certain things that you won't do anymore because your Lord wouldn't want you to do these things. He takes control. It means that you step out of the driving seat of your life and he steps in. Some years ago, I was preaching in our own village. I was preaching from that verse that I've quoted to you. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I said to the people that night what I just said to you. It means that you step out of the driving seat of your life, and he steps in. A lady in the service that evening left and said to the friend who'd brought her, it's not for me. I want to be in the driving seat of my own life. Well, not so very long afterwards, I was in Africa, and I received a text message to the effect that this lady had died very suddenly. The lady who wanted to control her own life and who wanted to control her own destiny, and who would not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, her time was short. Her life was fleeting. It would have been far happier for her if she had acknowledged Jesus as Lord. Well, the man of whom I've been speaking did acknowledge Jesus as his Lord. Are you willing for that? The Bible speaks of him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you want to receive him as your Savior, if you want to believe on him in order to be saved from your sins and to experience God's forgiveness, it means that at the same time, you take him into your life as Lord. He takes control. He takes the reins. He becomes the director of your life. And so that man acknowledged his own sinfulness. He acknowledged the sinlessness of Jesus Christ, and he acknowledged that Jesus was Lord. Now, Christ was willing to pardon that man's sin. He didn't say to him, I'm not interested in the dregs of your life. You should have thought of this much sooner. No. He willingly acknowledged that that man needed him as Savior. And he turned to him and he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise, heaven, a place of bliss, a place where there's no sin and no night and no sorrow and no pain and no death. A glorious place, a place of endless happiness, paradise. And the Lord said to that man, today you'll be with me in paradise. It wasn't too long after that when the soldiers came and they broke that man's legs to hasten the end. Now, I suppose it would only take a few seconds. The heart could take the strain no longer, and his pulse weakened, and the lights went out, but his spirit flew free and went to be with Christ in paradise. The first believer that the Lord Jesus received to heaven after he died was that thief who had died by his side. Are you going to be in paradise when you die? Are you heading for that glorious place? Remember, it's your attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ that determines whether or not you will be in paradise. The other man who died that day died in unbelief. He said to the Savior, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. Come down from the cross. If you are the Christ. His words were echoing with a sense of rank unbelief. Unbelief's an awful thing. Rejection of the Lord Jesus is the thing that damns men and women for the long eternity. The Bible says, he that believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he that believes not will not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon them. In other words, that verse of Scripture is promising the eternal judgment of God for those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who are unwilling to put their trust in him for the salvation of their souls. Two men dying equidistant to the Lord Jesus. The one died in faith, as the Bible would put it. The other died in his sins. Which of these men represents you? Which of these men epitomizes your spiritual condition? If you were to die today, would you be in paradise? Or would you be like that second thief who was lost and who perished in his sins? He went to hell that day. He's still there. And he will be there forever and ever and ever. You see, the judgment of God is described in the Bible as eternal judgment. It's everlasting punishment, the Lord Jesus said. That's why it's so crucial to be right with God. That's why it's so important to have your sins forgiven and to have your soul saved. Halfway to paradise, the old song says. I hope that you won't be just halfway to paradise, thinking about your need of getting right with God, thinking of the importance of putting your trust in Christ for salvation, thinking of preparing to meet God. Don't just be halfway to paradise. Realize that you need to make a choice today. You need Christ. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, and then all will be well for the great eternity. So three men died that day. The Lord Jesus on the center cross, dying for our sins. He died, and then he rose again, and he's a living Savior, and he's able to hear an appeal that you could make for his mercy today. Be like that first thief of whom I spoke. Cry to him, acknowledge your need of him, and you'll be right with God and ready for heaven.